of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Word of God, which is the lesson appointed for today and the basis for our meditation, is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 6. Now these things are warnings for us, not to desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to dance. We must not indulge in immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put the Lord to the test as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as a warning, but they were written down for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. If you're like me, when you begin to hear the words again of that familiar pericope, you tend to recoil just a bit and say, "Surely, Lord, you don't mean that about me. Idolatry? Surely, I don't do that. Immorality?" And when we check out the reference in the Old Testament and find that the immorality in in the text consisted in fornication and worship of pagan deities, surely we recoil and say, "Lord, that doesn't pertain to me either." We must not put the Lord to the test. When have you and I done anything like that? They grumbled? Well, okay. Maybe we grumble too. But surely not immorality, fornication, idolatry, gross, carnal sin. We're pastors, studying to be pastors, we serve the church. We love the Lord. Surely this warning couldn't apply to us. Maybe to our people, but not to us. The apostle reminds us that these things happened to them as a warning, but they're written down for our instruction. Ours? Yours? Mine? It hardly seems like it. But then we recall how the chapter began, this familiar tense chapter of Paul to the Corinthians, with this strong sacramental reference to what God was doing for his people in the Old Testament. Our fathers were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And then with obvious reference to the Lord's Supper, all ate the same supernatural food, all drank the same supernatural drink. He sums it all up. They drank from the supernatural rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. And then we think of ourselves, baptized into the name of the Triune God, daily living in our baptism, being nurtured constantly by the supernatural food and the supernatural drink of the Lord's body and blood. And the rock who is Christ is with us too. And then we recall that after all the examples we're listening to, the examples of these gross sins, immorality, idolatry, murmuring, grumbling, tempting the Lord, were spoken as very favored people. God's chosen people. People who had the benefit of this kind of direct divine intervention, saving intervention in their lives. The rock followed them, the rock is Christ. Nevertheless, Paul wrote, with most of them God was not pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. And then it hits us that the whole point of the apostles' admonition is not necessarily to lead us to focus on specific sins, such as those enumerated in the text, but to help us to understand the nature of all such sins as a breaking of our relationship with God, as a breach of our own covenant of fidelity to the Lord Himself. The apostle, in other words, is proclaiming to you and to me, most assuredly, a word of law and a word of gospel. The word of law is summarized simply in the well-known quotation: "Let anyone who thinks that he stands proceed, lest he fall." And the falling is not just falling into individual and separate serious sin. And that, I think, is made very, very clear by the key words in this text: "But God is faithful." What's the context? It's interesting, isn't it, that the apostle doesn't write that God is forgiving, God is merciful, God is loving, God is kind, God is good, God is true, God is faithful. The contrast is important for us to see. All these acts of Israel of old were unfaithfulness, infidelity. If there's anything more serious than immorality and grumbling and idolatry and putting the Lord to the test, it's what those actions represent. Infidelity, unfaithfulness, a breaking of our covenant with the Lord Himself. And so it is that the warning is not only against the pride which says it can't happen to me, but the recognition putting a stake between the eyes that every one of our sins, every one of our failures to live up to our covenant with God is in fact an instance of infidelity and unfaithfulness. But the apostle speaks a word of comfort, a strong word of comfort. He even has a weak one, too. He reminds his Corinthians, as he would remind us, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." And for a few brief moments, that sounds very good. We remind ourselves that we're not being singled out, that the temptation that besets you and me, the sin that lurks in my flesh, and the thorn that is my constant temptation to lead me to break my relationship to the Lord, is not peculiar. I am not being singled out. But the longer we think about that, the reminder of our common humanity is small comfort at best. For it is a reminder that what has happened to other men can and does happen to you and me. No, the strong word of gospel is said very simply: "But God is faithful. You aren't, I am not, mankind is not, but God is. God is faithful." There is no maudlin emphasis on giving your teeth and grinning it and bearing it and wheeling up your courage to the tipping point and standing fast by our own strength. We can't do that. But God is faithful. He will, with the temptation, provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. Isn't that a wonderful word? A word that God Himself, in the very water of our baptism, in the very manna and drink that is our Lord's Supper, daily, richly, gives us the way to avoid escape and find the way out of the temptation to be unfaithful in the covenant relation with Him who is faithful. In His death, in His resurrection, in His daily presence with us, that's the strong comfort. That's the word of good news and good cheer from the Scriptures for us this morning. To be sure, we must be on our toes, lest our pride cause us to fall. But God is faithful. God will make a way to escape the temptation to be faithless.
brothers and sisters. Let that word of good cheer sustain us on this day, and as we return in a few days to our ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the supreme example of God's faithfulness to man.